Such a privilege to gather together with you like this, to see what God would have for us, to be able to worship and all. I trust that indeed you were blessed by our worship time. I know I was. The worship times like that are always so important for all of us, of course. It's where God begins to speak to us as we gather. It's a time just to kind of set our compass on Him, help us kind of focus on the Lord. And of course, He's worthy to be praised and worshiped. So thank God for worship times just as we just had. And we pray that was also a meaningful time for you. We're going to jump into God's Word. We want to make sure we have a chance to see that He'd say to us through His Word this morning. So towards that end, let's go ahead and remember, we're traveling with those children of Israel. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. We arrived at Deuteronomy 18. So turn in that fifth book of your Bible to Deuteronomy 18. The ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand. We count it a privilege to give you one. It's yours to keep if you need it. And for all of us, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. Guys, just want to make sure and point out again, all you hubbies, remember, Valentine's dinner. You were warned. Don't come to me February 15th and say, how come we didn't warn you? That you're in trouble. This is the time to jump on board. Just take some time as a couple and let the Lord minister to you. So keep an eye on that. Oh, by the way, I only mention this only because I don't ever want to be a distraction up here. For those who are sitting in the back, you can't tell, but if you're up front or as you leave this morning, you'll be able to see that my face has a couple of repair spots in it. For those of you who are young, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But those of you who are older, those years of sun take their toll, don't they? And I went to the dermatologist, and they chose to zap me a few places. So if you're sitting there going like, what is going on? If you're up front here and you leave, you go, what's he got? You know, no, it's not catching. Just got some, they've been doing some repair work. Under construction, you know, is the sign that will go up there today. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Before we actually dig into our focus text this morning, I want to set the table by looking at a couple of related texts. I'm not going to have you turn there. We're going to put them on the overheads in just a minute. But I want us to consider two verses, and then we're going to see how they might fit our focus for this morning. So just listen to these two, and we'll put them together. The first thing I want to read is out of Matthew 17, 5. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration. They have just seen Jesus. He's standing there. He's shining as bright as brighter than snow, and he's just shining and all. And Peter, in his inimitable style, makes a comment. But then it says, while he was still speaking, behold, bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. So it's the Father speaking about Jesus. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah is standing there. But God now directs, God the Father directs in a focus upon Jesus and says, this is my beloved son. And whom I am well pleased, hear him. I want to couple with that as we begin this next text out of John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. We long to hear God speak to us. It's an awesome thing to recognize. It's his desire too. The Father tells us to listen to what Jesus says. Hear him is the direct statement from God the Father. Jesus tells us that he only speaks what the Father has taught him to speak. Keep those two verses in mind now as we come to our focus verses for this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we arrive at that point where these pilgrims, these children of Israel, have indeed arrived outside the borders of the promised land. They're getting ready to go into this land that God had promised them. And really, all through this book of Deuteronomy, God is teaching them, reminding them of what they were to be about when they get into this place God has promised for them. In this particular chapter, prior to these focus verses we're going to look at, Moses warns the children of Israel to not listen to the false teachers that are out there. The people in the land before them had been given over to all this false teaching, these pagan gods and all, but God tells them they're not to be like that. Then he speaks the awesome verses that are our focus verses for this morning. Deuteronomy 18, go to verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, we'll begin in verse 15. where now it's declared, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whosoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So here the Lord tells them and us that he's going to be sending a prophet. Notice it's with a capital P. It's a specific one. We're going to see that in just a moment. But he'll be like unto Moses, is the declaration here. And he will speak all that the Father, God the Father, tells him to. So this morning we're going to, first of all, consider who this prophet is and then what it is he's saying. Not just to them, but to us. Put together the first two verses we began with this morning. It talks about God the Father looking down on Jesus and says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. We coupled it with Jesus saying, when he spoke, when I speak, I only say what the Father tells me to. When you put those two things together, we recognize why this one, and who it points to, is a prophet indeed, with a capital P. This morning, as I said a moment ago, as we gather, we desire to hear from God. I would trust that's all of our focus this morning. Yes, we come to fellowship, and all those important things we've been considering were to be about amongst one another and towards one another. All of it has its place, of course. But as I mentioned last week, it all begins with looking up. It all begins with hearing from God and responding to God. And so we come with different things going on in our lives. Different things, areas we're hurt, we're struggling, whatever it might be. Lord, do you have a word for me? Or something you want to say to me? And we can be assured that God indeed wants to speak to us, is speaking to us. See, that's exactly the case. What our need is his goal. He indeed is speaking to us. But the question becomes, what do we do about it? What are we going to do with what God says to us? Look at verse 15 here. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Look again. Let me put it up. Look again at the text where God the Father speaking about Jesus at the end of the text. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. In the midst of all we go through, in the midst of everything, that's our great need. And not just us coming to him and telling him, well, here's what I want to hear. No, help us to hear him and what he would say to us in all that we're going through. So our title for our time this morning, based on this text, is that. Namely, hear him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us like you do. We sit here with people who we know right well, Lord. Without you, we'd be lost. But we have you. You have reached out. Father, you sent your Son. You have and are speaking. You're attempting to speak to the needs in our lives and to us where we're at and everything we're going through. Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to hear you. And then, Lord, help us to respond. May it not just be an intellectual effort, but a surrender of our hearts, Lord. Help us to tune in right now. Lift out the distractions, Lord. Lord, in the midst of everything, we pray, help us to hear you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I think we need to take some time to establish right off the bat who this prophet with a capital P is referring to. You see, from this point on, God will be sending a number of prophets, a number of men that he indeed will raise up, and they will speak for God. So he'll have those that come along and speak for him, and they will be speaking for God. But that's not what this reference right here is to. This one is speaking of Jesus. He is the prophet with a capital P that's going to be coming at the time he says this here in Deuteronomy. He's going to be coming and speak what God has said. Now, am I just trying to force that onto the text? Do we have any basis for saying that that's who this is talking about? Well, I'm going to give you a couple. First of all, as the new church was being birthed there in the book of Acts, Peter gets up on that day of Pentecost, and Peter gives that awesome message. And as part of that message, can't look at all of it this morning, but I want you to notice something Peter points to in that message. Acts 3, starting at verse 22. He begins by quoting the exact verse that is our focus for this morning. He says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" So he's setting for them this text. Well, what's he say about that? He goes on to say, "Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as spoken, have also foretold of these days." So he's saying Moses' prophecy was talking about Jesus in the days in which Peter was then speaking. And Samuel and all the other prophets, they were also speaking of those days in which Jesus would come and what he'd accomplish and all. And then he says, "You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And then he says, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." So that speaks of his mission, sent to pay the price for our sins and all. But we see that we have the New Testament support for showing that the application of this text here in Deuteronomy, this declaration of Moses, applies to Jesus. He is the one who God the Father will be sending to speak his words. And you know, the people of Israel always took this text as pointing to the Messiah. They understood the prophet, the capital P, to be the Messiah that would be coming. You know, we read in after Jesus feeds the 5,000 there in John chapter 6, we read this. And in John 6:14, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet," with a capital P, "who is to come into the world.'" And so they're acknowledged. They were looking for him all along, and they go, "Whoa, he's here." And so some people were saying, this is the answer to that prophecy of Moses and all. Stephen, that first martyr of the church, there in Acts chapter 7, he also uses this very verse as he preached Jesus to them in Acts 7:37. So the point of all this is to say this: Jesus is the one Moses is pointing forward to. We have ample support for that, not just opinion, but biblical support that Jesus is the one being referred to here. These verses speak of a coming prophet that only found their fulfillment in Jesus. Nobody has ever, will ever qualify for that. Only Jesus does. Okay, we've established that now. Well, what's the purpose? What is he saying about him? Well, look at it. Deuteronomy 18:15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Jesus is the Son of God, God incarnate. So don't think he's just a prophet, but he fulfilled the office of the special prophet. We know that he's God incarnate from the divine side, but we also know he was not only fully God, but fully man. And he was indeed raised up from your midst, from your brethren, it says. Since he is to be a prophet like Moses, why would God throw that statement in there? What's the comparison for? What do we learn? Let's consider how Jesus is a prophet like Moses and what that might mean to us. Verse 16, "According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good.'" And then he says it again, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." The first thing we see here that is pointed out is how Jesus was to be like Moses was. It says that he would be raised up, it says, from your midst, from your brethren. Again, speaking to his humanity side, so to speak. See, this means that Jesus would not only be a Jew, not only be an Israelite, but it means that he'd be one of them. From among the brethren means he'll be like you. And indeed, that was the case. Jesus didn't come as one born of high rank. Jesus didn't come like a distant king living in a castle, never interacting with the people. But instead, he came, as it says, from their midst, from their brethren. Jesus was born in a stable, a humble birth. He was born from obscure parents. He wasn't among the rich and famous. Jesus walked among his brethren. He walked amongst the people. He ate with sinners. Sinless, but he ate with sinners. And so we see he was like Moses, amongst them, raised up from amongst them and all. Another way that Jesus was like Moses. Moses watched these children of Israel rebel and be stiff-necked over and over again. They were a stubborn, rebellious people. But Moses loved them in the midst of all their stubbornness. Moses interceded for them. He prayed for them over and over again. So it is with us in Jesus. We are stubborn people. I see nobody shocked to hear that. We are? We are stiff-necked. We can be stubborn. We can be prideful. We can have our own agenda. We can try to tell God what he should do. I mean, consider what we're really like. We are fickle. We can be self-absorbed. And just as Moses loved the people in their stubbornness, so Jesus still loves us. And intercedes for us, prays for us. So we see that's the second way that this prophet would be, and Jesus is, like Moses. A third way was the humility factor. Moses was very humble. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth." Moses was not, if you read how God used Moses, if you've traveled with us, or you've studied these opening books of the Bible, you know Moses was an awesome, awesome guy that God called. But it wasn't because God found some great speaker. Moses said, "Why are you picking me? I can't speak right. I'm not your man. Find somebody else." But God knows what he's doing and picked Moses to do that. But he was very humble, it said. Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So that other comparison now, just like Moses, Jesus' journey here was marked by his humility. So very humble in all of his dealings. And a fourth way that I want to point out this morning that Jesus, the prophet with a capital P and so much more, but in this case the prophet, another way he was like Moses, and really a way that's really highlighted here by the text, is that, see, Moses was a mediator between the people and God. The people could not handle dealing with God directly. When they saw the thunderings on the mountains and the fire and all the things going on, the people finally said, Moses, you go up the mountain, we'll stay here. We don't want to go near this. You connect with God and bring back what he says to us. You be the go-between. We need a go-between. We see that. Moses, you be our go-between. So it is with us. Because of our sin, God cannot commune with us directly without doing something about it. But therein is the problem. On our side, we can do nothing about it. We can't get rid of that sin we were born with on our own. Can't work it off, can't buy it off, nothing like that. We can't do it. We needed someone to go between us and God. We cried out, "Lord, if there was just someone that could touch God on one side and touch me on the other," and sure enough, he did on the cross. And that's what Jesus was doing, spanning the gap from God's side. But that's the role there. That's the role of this mediator. And it's something that's truly highlighted here. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Now, if you look it up, it's a capital M. It's speaking in about his human side. But he is our mediator. He's the one God designated. It's his son that spans that gap. So as Moses was a mediator between God and the people, so is Jesus. Okay, so we said there's all these things that Jesus shows he and he alone qualifies for it, and how he is those things, how he's like Moses and all, and what it has to do with us. Now, what's the direct point in all of this? Why is God saying this? Why did he put this out here? What is the point of our verses? God says, I'm going to raise up someone like Moses, this prophet with a capital P. Listen to him. He'll be the one. Look at verse 15. A prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. Verse 18, I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among your brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Just like Moses, this prophet would speak God's word. Jesus said more than once that he spoke only what the Father gave him. Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And what's the idea here? Because God wanted to say something to us. Well, what is it God has said through Jesus as we sit here this morning? God be sending a prophet like Moses to do what? To speak to us. Well, what is it God has said through Jesus? I don't like you. You really bug me. Please go away from me. Ha ha, too bad. Don't love you. No. How doomed we'd be if that's what God said. Some people think he says that, that he's out to get them. You know, some people think like, well, there's the God of the Old Testament, really mean and out to get me. And then there's Jesus, meek and mild. Somehow there's this difference. No, if you've seen Jesus, Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said, what I speak, I only speak what the Father gave me. And so you see Jesus, you see the love of the Father. Jesus sent to speak those things from the Father. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, we can't go through all those red letter parts of our Bible and all. But just consider a few things. What did Jesus say to that self-righteous religious leader, Nicodemus? What did Jesus have to say to him? Nicodemus, you got to be born again if you're going to see heaven. Nicodemus, it's not about being good enough. You're not going to earn your way there. Oh, some people think, okay, just as long as I'm good enough, as long as my good outweighs the bad, I'll get to heaven. And of course, we always determine for us that our good is always going to outweigh the bad. All of us see ourselves that way. Oh, certainly my good will outweigh the bad. Well, it's not about that at all. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And here's how you do it, Nicodemus. Believe on me. For God sent his Son to this world to die for us. To pay that price, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's going to be by faith. Be by belief in what Jesus did on the cross. What he in him. What did he say to him? You can be born again and you'll be able to see heaven. What did Jesus say to the thirsty woman at the well? Remember, she'd been married 5 times, and the guy she was living with, she wasn't married to. In essence, looking for love in all the wrong places. So, just aching her heart, but never finding a satisfying place, a satisfying relationship on this earth level. And now she stands there talking to Jesus. What did he say to her? Drink of the water I give you, and you'll live forever. Drink of the water I give you, and it'll meet the real need. You will find, it'll quench that heart thirst in your life. See, that's what God wants to say to us in the midst of what you're going through. There's things he wants to say to you. And they're not get away and you bug me, but they're, I'm your hope, I'm your answer, I'm your peace, I'm your comfort. He wants to speak those things into our lives. What did Jesus say to the tax collector scorned by all the others? Come on, follow me. There's place in my family for you. There's place in my plan for you. I have a plan for you. What did Jesus say to the uneducated fisherman? Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't even have a seminary degree. What are you talking about? How can God use him? Come on, Peter. I'm going to use you in a big time way. Follow me. This is God, remember? God says, I'm going to speak through Jesus. And Jesus said, this is the Father. Never rejecting, condemning, but calling and forgiving and inviting. We don't have to wonder what God would say if he were to visit this earth. He already has. that we have it. And you're holding it right there in your hand if you're holding your Bible. Words of love and hope and forgiveness. And you'll notice in all of this, God got personal. When God came to this earth and walked this earth, God the Son, God incarnate, as he spoke to Nicodemus, the woman at the well, even in crowds, he would still make the point of his things personal, speaking to their need and his answer for each one. God is personal. Think of that. God didn't keep distant. God came and walked amongst the people. He came close. God didn't come and just talk theories. He met them at the real point of need. See, he's personal and he gets real. Jesus got real and he gets real with each one. Each one he encounters, he gets real with us. Be real with him. Don't put up walls. Don't try to just put him off and run. Get real with him because he's our only real answer, our only real hope. But also, in each of these interactions, God speaking through Jesus came to each person, each situation, each message, got real, but he never left it even at just that, but rather, in each interaction, there required a response. He put the ball in their court. Nicodemus, what are you going to do about it? The woman at the well, what are you going to do with this? Jesus would say to them, who do people say that I am? They would answer, and then Jesus said, what? And who do you say that I am? And the answer to that determines everything. And so he gets real, he gets personal, but then he puts the ball in our court. God is speaking how much he loves you and wants to travel with you and all. But then he said, but it's your choice. I didn't make robots. And so he puts the ball in our court as part of all of this. So God speaks, and then he waits for our response. Our lives are our response. Well, we say certain things, and that's important, but do we do them? Do we mean them? So he waits for to live out our response to what he says. He's speaking to each of us right now. He spoke to us in the worship time, and he's speaking to us through his word. How will we respond? As we go through our days, he speaks through his word. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. How will we respond? He puts the ball on our court in all of it. What does God say about our sin? I want to go back to this for a moment. I want to focus on it for a moment because it's important. Because there may be some here this morning that whether you've attended here a long time or it's your first morning, you haven't really ever done business personally with God. If you're going to see heaven, you have to do that. You have to receive what he did on the cross for you. You don't get there because mom and dad are believers or that you went to church or anything, but you must personally decide it. And I pray you'll do that this morning if you haven't. But what does he say about your sin? Thank God, again, that he doesn't say, get out of here, you've blown it, I don't want you around. But on the contrary, he knows already. He knew about it all along. He knows where we're at, what we've done. And what does he say about our sin? See, that's what he was doing on the cross. That's why he went to the cross. This one who the Father sent to speak his words, he went to the cross to make available the forgiveness we need. He went to the cross so that he could purchase, if you will, this right to be able to say what the Father wants him to say to all who will ask for it, I forgive you. And he'll say it to each one who say, I need that forgiveness. I am a sinner. Please pay for me what I can't pay for myself. Please cleanse me. Oh, how he wants to say to you today, you're forgiven. But you got to ask. You got to cry out, Nick. I'll acknowledge your need. Before we wrap it up, as we wrap it up today, go to the prayer room and get it settled. But that's what he says to us. See, Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke with his words, but he also spoke with his life. He laid down his life so his words have the power that they do. He is the one who can say what he does. But what if we refuse it? It's not a game. Everything hangs in the balance. Verse 19 is still in effect. What does it say? And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. You don't want to receive the price he paid on the cross. He won't make you. But if you say, I don't want Jesus to stand for me on that day, I'll stand on my own, you don't know what you're saying. You don't want to be your own attorney on that day. You're not going to stand there and pitch your case to God and have him go, oh, I didn't know that. You are really good. Come on in. No, he knows you better than you know yourself. And it's not about that. You don't want to be your own attorney before God. You need a mediator, an advocate, someone to stand before the Father and say, he, she is mine. His, her sins are covered by my shed blood. That's what you want. You'll be able to hear God say. You don't be found in verse 19, but it's up to us. What will you do with what God has said through his prophet, with a capital P, his only begotten Son, Jesus? See, if God did all this to say it, we must really need to hear it. God doesn't talk to hear himself talking. It's because we needed it. And so he sent his Son to say it. Oh, how we must need to hear it. I mean, really need to hear it. And when God says hear, it means not just hear that let the sound waves bounce off our eardrums, but it means hearing with the intent to do. That's our great need. For all of us, those who receive Christ as Savior, for all of us, there's so many things who are competing for our attention. So many things that are saying, listen to me, hear me. Go my way. Live according to this. Oh, you received Jesus, but here you need to join my group and do my thing and see him like I say he is. All these different groups, all these cults, everybody competing out there. So many people clamoring for our attention. How can we tell what's real and what's false? Look at verse 20. We haven't looked there yet, so make sure you see that it's not me. It's the Lord. Verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks the name of other gods, notice little g, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Only God's word is truth. If someone says, I'm speaking for God, and what they say isn't true, that doesn't come to pass, don't be afraid of them. Don't listen to them. Now, this is speaking about all those cults out there. It's speaking about those billboards that come along and say, oh, he's coming. And he doesn't. And they, oops, we missed. We need to recalculate. No, you lost the qualification for that one right now. It didn't come to pass. You are a false prophet. I'm not to be afraid of you. I'm not to listen to you. A false prophet will not say one thing that's wrong. And secondly, is they will always line up with the word of God. A prophet will always do. God's not going to come along and say, oh, by the way, what Jesus did on the cross really wasn't enough. You need to do this and that and the other. Join our group. Follow this way. Oh, the Bible's not quite enough. Let's add a couple more books to it. Let's add some magazines to it. Let's add some society to it. You better be part of our group. We're the only ones in the world. They got locked in. And on and on it goes. Don't listen to them. Paul warned us. He said, don't listen to anything. If anybody says something more or less than this, don't pay attention to them. And that's how it is. Jesus qualifies as a real prophet. The word of God qualifies. You won't find one prophecy didn't come to pass. That's been due to come to pass yet. It's all true right here. Jesus and only Jesus qualified for this. That's the awesome thing here. He speaks about the truth, but he also speaks about, you know, there's error. There's false prophets out there. Look up in verse 14. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. You're not to listen to the liars and the false prophets out there and everybody trying to add this, take away that, follow my group, buy my book. Don't you fall for that, he says. And then he goes right into what? Here's the true prophet. He goes, see, it fits. He goes right in to see, here's the one that you're going to know is speaking for God. And he points to Jesus. And then he wraps it up, goes back to it again. And if somebody comes along and they say anything doesn't come to pass, they're not from me. What an awesome context this is, and what an encouragement for all of us. The bigger picture here, too, I want to point to just for one moment. In these chapters, Moses, in chapters 17 and 18 and all here, Moses was guided here to speak regarding the true ideals of three offices, if you will, king, priest, and prophet. And it shows us how completely each one of those, each office, is fulfilled in Jesus and only Jesus. He is the one and only true king. He is the one and only true priest. He's the one and only true prophet with a capital P. What an awesome, glorious king, priest, and prophet Jesus is. That old priest office is talked about over in the book of Hebrews, how Jesus fulfills that and all. But think how glorious he is in fulfilling each of these for us. What's our part? What's the calling to us? What do we see at the beginning? Hear him. Hear him with the intent of doing. Hear him with the intent of obeying. That's the kind of hearing we're called to. We can be assured that God has and is speaking through his word and by the Holy Spirit. God would not give a command to hear him and then not say anything. He has spoken through Jesus. We have that. Through his word, we have that. The call, hear him. He's speaking to all of us this morning. If we just slow down, take time to listen. He's speaking words of forgiveness to us. He's speaking words of encouragement to us. He's speaking words of comfort for those of us who we need comfort this morning. He's speaking words of challenge for those of us who might be coasting along. He can speak words of exhortation, but all of them are rooted in love, because in the end, he speaks love. His love. His unconditional love to us. It's all rooted in that. So the call is to hear him. Hear him in the worship time. Hear him in the time in his word. Hear him in the message that he puts on the pastor's heart. But above all is that invitation. Hear him. Hear him with the intent of doing. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet with a capital P, like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. The bottom line, Jesus himself is the message. When he speaks, you hear the Father. When you see him, you see the Father. Jesus is the message. This morning and every day, hear him. Receive him if you need to do that. Start there. For all of us, hear him with the intent to follow him, serve him. The privilege, the calling this morning and every day is this: hear him. Get invite the worship team up to wrap us up. Are you in need of prayer this morning? Our prayer partners will be here at the prayer room. They count it a privilege to pray with you. Don't leave here wishing you'd taken time to get some prayer. Don't leave here wishing you had some time for somebody to personally hear your needs and say a word of prayer for you. They'd love to do that. They'd count it a privilege to do that with you. As you press on into this week, the Lord wants to speak to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, in our very circumstances. Not just here, of course, but as you go out the door, he goes right with you. He goes to work, school, home with us. And he speaks to us because it's our great need and it's his desire. So hear him. And then as you do, as he speaks, respond. Do. Obey. That's the best place to be. Father, we are just in awe. Who are we, Lord, that you would love us like you do? But you do. And that you would speak to us. What an awesome thing. And we don't have to wonder what you'd say. We have it right here. And they're words of love and forgiveness and hope and life and comfort and encouragement. All those things. All the things our hearts really need, you speak to us, Lord. But you also speak a word of warning. So, Lord, if somebody here hasn't received, draw them even now. No more putting it off. No more reasoning it, but just a surrender to you. Again, for all of us, each one who by your mercy and grace we sit here as your children, help us to be those children who eagerly and just in a hungry way, every day, may you find us listening carefully And again, we just wrap it up right now by just rejoicing that fact that indeed we can hear you. So thank you. We ask all this, we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen.